Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From John chapter 4, Jesus speaking to the woman at the well, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have before us today one of my favorite stories in the entire New Testament, probably the most amazing conversation that Jesus ever had with anyone. It takes up almost the entire chapter of John 4, his conversation with a Samaritan woman at the well. This Jacob's well is about 4,000 years old. I've been to this well and drawn water from it, and it's still good water. It's still used today. This 4,000-year-old well, which was originally dug by Jacob, is the setting for this conversation between Jesus and this Samaritan woman. And what this text is about is that Jesus brings to us a spring of water welling up to eternal life so we never thirst again. If you've ever really been thirsty, the Israelites in Exodus 16, there was no water to drink, they're wandering in the desert with their animals, and they complain to Moses, "You've dragged us out here and we're all going to die of thirst." Remember the last time you were so thirsty that you told somebody, "I'm about to die of thirst"? I remember hiking in the mountains one time by myself, and I ran out of water. And there was no drinkable water anywhere. And then when I came down the trail, I foolishly had not put any extra water in the car, so there was no water there. And I had a 45-minute drive to get into town, and I was dying of thirst. And all I could think of was the 7-Eleven and a half a gallon of Gatorade. And I drank the whole thing all at once. I was so thirsty. Well, the real thirst Jesus is talking about is a spiritual thirst that only he can quench. Now, God told Moses, "Okay, go take your rod and strike the rock, and the water will come out, and the people will drink." Jesus, who takes a drink of this well water at Jacob's well, is now going to give this woman a different kind of drink, a spiritual drink. You've been outside, it's been hot and dusty, and you come in and get a glass of water to drink. Your body needs hydration. You realize a little bit of food and water, that's what I really need. All this other stuff I think I need, I don't. I've got to have food and I need something to drink. Just like your body needs physical hydration, your soul needs spiritual hydration. And that's what Jesus is talking about today. The water of this world leaves us thirsty. The living water of Jesus takes all thirst away. So let's first of all look at the water of this world, the woman of Samaria, then the living water from heaven, Jesus at Jacob's well, and then how Jesus gives you and me living water. So let's first look at the woman of Samaria at Jacob's well, the water of this world that ultimately cannot quench our thirst. A word about the Samaritans. If you look on a map, down where Jerusalem is, down south, is called Judea. Up north is Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum, and Nazareth. In between Judea and Galilee is Samaria. The Jews have to go through Samaria to get up to Galilee. The Samaritans were looked at as half-breeds. They were Jewish people that intermarried with Gentiles. They only accepted the first five books of the Old Testament, books of Moses, not the rest of the Old Testament. And they set up their own worship place in Mount Gerizim, contrary to God's command to worship at Jerusalem in the temple. And so the Jews want nothing to do with the Samaritans. And that's what's amazing about this beautiful conversation. So here we are in this town of Sychar in Samaria, which you can still visit today. There's a church built over this well. Jacob's field and well is there, and Jesus is worn out, he's tired and thirsty. He sent the disciples into town for food, and he's sitting there by the well, but they're traveling, so he doesn't have a bucket to draw the water. So naturally, when the woman comes to the well, he asks her to draw water for him so he can have a drink. She is astonished. Why are you, a Jewish man, speaking to me, a Samaritan woman? She is absolutely astounded. And she looks at him and says, you have nothing to draw with, so what are you going to do? And when Jesus talks about giving her living water, she's confused. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who dug this well? What do you mean you'll give me water so I'll never be thirsty again? Well, if so, she takes him literally, I'd like to have this water so I don't have to come and draw the water every day. Of course, they didn't have plumbing like we do that brings the water to your house. If you wanted water, you had to make the journey to the town well, draw the water, carry it all the way back. And we're going to learn something about this woman in this conversation. You see, that women would normally go early in the day when it was cool or in the evening to draw the water. This woman has a bit of a reputation. She's going to the well when no one else would ever go, in the middle of the afternoon. We're about to find out about her past. She wants some of this water, so she says, Jesus, can I have this water? Jesus completely changes the subject. Well, call your husband. This is an honest woman. She says, I have no husband. Jesus says, you're right. You've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. You've spoken the truth. You can about see this woman's mouth drop. She says, you are a prophet. For him to know all things like this shows his omniscience. But she wants to change the subject. This is touching too close to home. Well, you know, you Jews worship down there in Jerusalem, but we Samaritans, we worship here. Jesus has this conversation with her about you worship who you don't know, meaning the Samaritans were really spiritually confused people. They really had a spiritual thirst that only Christ could answer or could quench. So she says, well, I know when Messiah, when Christ comes, he'll tell us all things. You see, even they were looking for the Messiah. Here you see that she was thinking it was all about a water drink from Jacob's well. But what Jesus was really getting at was her need for spiritual water. She thirsted for spiritual drink. The same thing is true today. People think that their spiritual thirst can be satisfied by accumulating money or possessions or fame. But it doesn't work. Because as soon as you make $100,000, you think, I'll really be happy if I have $1 million. And if you make $1 million, I'll really be happy if I have $10 million. I'm not happy with one house. I want another house. I'm not happy with my investments, my power, whatever it will be. How ironic it is that we spend our whole life accumulating stuff. And then as we get older and we're about to die, we give it all away. So you ask, what's the point? What was the point of all this? St. Augustine's most famous quote from his Confessions was, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our souls are restless until they rest in thee. In other words, only Christ can quench that spiritual thirst. Nothing else will work. And he purposely allows people to go thirsty after they've accumulated these things, for them to say, is that all? Is that all there is? I'm still thirsty. The water of this world cannot quench our spiritual thirst. And that's how we move to what Jesus has to say to the woman and to you and me. She was a Samaritan, Jesus was a Jew at that same well, and he gives living water from heaven. Now a word about the Jews. The Jews did accept the entire Old Testament. They were told not to marry into the Gentile families, and they gathered at Jerusalem, the Holy of Holies, the Passover sacrificial lamb. That's where God said, "I will meet you." They were obedient to what the Lord said. Jesus is true man who shares our flesh and blood, and he's by this well, and he's thirsty. He knows what it means to be thirsty. But he reaches out to this woman, who's a Samaritan, and says, if you knew the gift of God, in other words, if you knew that I am the gift of God come down from heaven, and who it is talking to you, you would ask him for living water. This water that I give will be that you will never be thirsty, but a spring of water welling up to eternal life. There are some springs in this world that have been bubbling forth for thousands and thousands of years. Spring of water that bubbles up in Christ is a water that comes into our souls, wells up to eternal life, and springs out into the lives of other people. Even though Jesus knew her past, he accepted her confession of her sin, and he truly was a prophet. She had that right. He explained that it's at Jerusalem where true worship is to take place, because salvation does come from the Jews. It was from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the line of the Jews that the Messiah would come. That's what he meant. Salvation comes from the Jewish people in the person of Christ. But then he says something that really ties into our life today. The time is coming when people will not worship either in Jerusalem or Samaria. For worship is in spirit and in truth. Wherever people gather around his word and they're baptized and receive the Lord's Supper, there the Father is present and worship takes place in spirit and in truth. After all, remember when they crucified Christ, he said, "Tear down this temple." They crucified his body and he'll raise it up on the third day. His body is the temple. The temple in Jerusalem is gone. It was taken down in 70 AD. It now matters nothing to God where you are located, where you worship. Wherever people gather around the preached word, water and word of baptism and Holy Communion, there we worship the Father in spirit and in truth. All nations, all places, everywhere. And that's exactly the world we live in today. There are Christians all over the world worshiping right now as we worship, in locations everywhere, gathered around the word in spirit and in truth. The kicker is at the end of this encounter, because when she then says, well, when Messiah in Christ comes, that he'll teach us all things, Jesus says something earth-shaking. I who speak to you am he. Do you know how amazing this is? He's telling her, I am that Messiah. To this woman by the well, a Samaritan. Do you know how many times in the ministry of Jesus he specifically tells his own apostles, don't tell anybody that I'm the Christ, because he knows they'll grab him and try to turn him into an earthly king. But to this woman, in this context, he calmly says, I who am speaking to you am he. I'm the Messiah. Now, the latter part of this chapter is amazing. She runs into town. She tells all the people, I found a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could he be the Messiah? The whole town comes out. Jesus talks to them for the rest of the day. And they say, now we don't just believe because of your word. We found out for ourselves. This is the Messiah of the whole world. And this was a gift given to Samaritans. This is a great sign for us. We're not Jews. We're like Samaritans and like Gentiles. We receive the knowledge of Christ like she did. The word of Christ. We believe that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the woman at the well, and that's Jesus who gives living water. What about you and me? How do you and I receive this living water. That's what St. Paul talked about in this amazing Romans chapter 5 this morning. The living water that we have that comes in spirit and truth, Paul said, we have been justified by faith. We're declared righteous before God's throne because of the blood of Christ on the cross. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not our enemy. We're at peace with the Father. We have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We can come directly before God with our prayers and requests. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And then he says, we rejoice with suffering, which produces endurance, which produces character, which produces hope, so we are not put to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts. It's like you're an empty vessel, and God pours his love into you. We've received the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. And finally, he says, while we were yet weak, while we were ungodly sinners, Christ died for us. That is, the truly righteous one died for us unrighteous ones. God's love in person. Christ died on the cross, and one of the things he said on the cross was, I thirst. And what he really thirsts for is our salvation, so that we receive living water. In conclusion, salvation has come from Jesus, who is a Jew from the Messianic family line of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Judah and David and Joseph and Mary. We are Gentiles, like this woman, who worship the Father in spirit and truth because we've been justified by faith and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know how you have drunk of this living water from heaven? In holy baptism, water and word was poured out upon you. The washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit, you have drunk living water. In holy communion under the bread and wine, he gives us his body and blood for the remission of sins, and we're drinking of living water. In holy absolution, Jesus' word says, your sins are forgiven. You are drinking of living water. No longer pursue the things of this world that always will leave you thirsty. In the means of grace, be concerned not just about physical hydration, but spiritual hydration. The water of this world will always leave you thirsty. The living water of Christ takes all thirst away. May the Lord Jesus give you and me, all of us, like he did for this woman at the well, a spring of water that wells up to eternal life. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.